on Salisbury Hill. I could see the city light. Wind was blowing, time stood still.
Ah, he's buffed, he's pumped, and he's ready to go. He's been to the gym, so all the angst has been crunched from his body.
No, it has not.
I knew it hadn't. I was just sort of hoping. Steve Salisbury is in the studio to talk some US sport on the back of your team. The 49ers have sacked their coach after one of the most miserable NFL seasons in its history, in its very proud history.
70 years, Kev, 70 years. Those guys have been a team. Season ended today for 20 of the 32 teams. 12 teams move on, go into the playoffs. I'll give you that real quickly. In the AFC, you've got New England as the one seed, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Houston, Oakland, and Miami. In the NFC, you've got Dallas, Atlanta, Seattle, Green Bay, the New York Giants, and Detroit finishes as the sixth seed. So next weekend, we've got Oakland playing at Houston and Miami playing at Pittsburgh. In the AFC for the wild card weekend. In the NFC, we've got Detroit playing at Seattle. That'll be Sunday our time, and then on Monday our time will be the Giants going to play Green Bay. And
who won today?
Who just beat the Lions. So it was a very good last week of the season. We now know who will be playing. I'll get to the point you brought up. This is always, at the end of a season, you typically lose about 20% of the coaches.
Yeah, tomorrow usually is sack the coach.
They usually call it Black Monday, but they've now called it Sayonara Sunday. They've renamed it Sayonara Sunday. Today, two guys lost their job, Mike McCoy in San Diego, after 4 years. And the rationale there was pretty obvious and pretty clear. The team's got a very good quarterback in Philip Rivers. They've got a very talented roster of players, and they just have not been a very good team since he got there. They've not improved. They've gotten worse. So, you know, what you want out of a head coach is you want him to provide leadership. You want him to maximize the potential of the team. That is, if you've got a roster of good players, get the most out of those players, win ball games, go to the playoffs, compete for a Super Bowl.
Yep.
A couple of weeks back, Jeff Fisher lost his job in L.A. No, it wasn't. And the reason there is that he'd been, I think, the coach for 6 or 7 seasons. I'm not sure how many it was, but he had not ever had a winning record. So you could look at the Fisher firing and go, eh, that makes sense. I can understand management's move there. You look at the McCoy firing, you go, yeah, makes sense. You know, San Diego has not done well. You look at the Chip Kelly firing, and the team went 2-14, but, I mean, maximized potential? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. That roster at the very best was going to win 3 or 4 games.
Okay.
They won 2, and they sustained a lot of injury. It is right now the worst. I mean, I watched the Browns today. The Browns played the Steelers in an attempt to win their second game of the season, and that is a bad football team. That's a poorly run football team from the top to the bottom. And again, I always say smart wins, stupid loses. I watched the Niners, as you know, I've watched them for probably close to 40 years, and they are as poorly a run organization as there is in professional sports. Jed York is the 35-year-old son of the owners, and they gave him the mantle. They said, why don't you be our CEO? So they turned this, a 27-year-old kid. I mean, here's the deal. Think about successful people you know.
Yep.
Anybody that you hear stories about people who've achieved enormous success. Usually they've come from tough upbringing. They've had to overcome something. They've got business acumen. They're really smart. They're great with people, whatever it is. This guy is none of those things. This guy was born into a billionaire family. Now, I grew up in a middle-class white family in Sacramento, California. And so I had no real hardships at all. But I think I would do a far better job than this guy.
Yep.
And I'm just, it boggles the mind. He had Harbaugh, and he fired him for reasons that don't make any sense to anybody.
Well, it was a personality clash, simple as.
Get over it.
Well, but that's what it was. Let's not.
Exactly, yeah. That's what it was. He didn't like Harbaugh. Harbaugh didn't kiss his ass. Well, you know, when you're 33 and you've been handed a franchise to run, you're not going to earn a lot of respect from people. And a lot of these guys that came up playing football is a game of respect. You earn respect on the field. You're tough.
Yeah, but
you work
wasn't
hard.
Disrespectful to him. He just
He may have been. There have been a few stories that have come out.
Behind the scenes, there was some stuff.
Yeah,
going?
Yeah, behind the scenes, I can give you one story that I heard. That I heard this on pretty good authority, that there is a team meeting going on. Now they're already butting heads. And and Harbaugh is an abrasive character. He wears out his welcome. But the thing about it is, he's so damn good at what he does. You just sort of have to go, well, he's the star. You kind of got to go, you know what? We'll pay the price for the success.
Yep.
And he turned a horrible franchise into a winner in one season.
Yep.
And as soon as he left, they turned to crap. As soon as he left, they turned to crap. Funny that. So 4 years of being a very good team and back to crap. But anyway, there was a team meeting going on. And Jed York comes bopping into the room. And apparently, as the story goes, Harbaugh pointed to the door and said, "This meeting is for men only."
Okay, I'll take back the bit about him not disrespecting him.
So he may have disrespected the coach, but at the end of the day, what you have to do is you have to pull him aside as a man, or you get someone, somebody in the organization and go, "Look. You know, if it were me, I'd go up to him. I'd go, look, I don't like you calling me out in front of a bunch of people. I apologize for walking into your meeting. Let's establish some ground rules. And I'm happy to play by him if you are." You know, it's like you're winning. You came here to win. I'll let you win. Anyway,
yep.
So, you know, the firing Chip Kelly doesn't make any sense. Arguably, maybe hiring him didn't make any sense. But it was hiring the guy that they fired last year didn't make sense. You know, firing Harbaugh didn't make sense. So nothing they do makes sense. The only reason they also fired Trent Baalke, who's their general manager. The only reason that I could see that where it would make even a tiny bit of sense to fire Chip Kelly today is that they know the general manager that they want to hire to replace Baalke. And this guy has a coach in mind. Because as a general manager, what a smart owner does, Kevin, is he puts smart people in places. Puts a guy into a role and goes, look, you hire your coach, you set your roster,
yep.
You establish what you want to do. You're my general manager. What I want from you are wins. You give me wins, we're happy.
Yep.
And at the end of every year, you give a guy a four or five-year deal because he can't do it overnight unless you're Harbaugh. I give you 5 years, and I go, look, you got 5 years. I'm going to pay you $2.5-3 million a year, whatever it is. You and I will sit down the week after every season. We'll kind of chart the progress and, you know, and then but you've got 5 years. So unless things go really, really bad, you're going to be employed here 5 years. Hopefully we have a lot of success and we can sign you to a contract. Boom, there you go. I'm out of your hair.
Yep.
He's finished. He's finished.
When you're in love with a beautiful woman, it's hard. When you're in love.
Dr. Hook.
Yeah, I know who it is. I meant I have no idea.
Why?
Why we are playing some of the stuff. We've played Mandy by Barry Manilow.
Why did they? Who's doing that?
A-Rod is with me for the next couple of weeks in that chair.
A-Rod, I want you to continue to do that.
You know there's an ejector button on that chair, A-Rod.
When you're in love with a beautiful woman, Mandy.
Dennis LaCoria.
He's
touring.
Mandy was
Barry Manilow.
Yeah,
but Dennis LaCoria is touring soon. This in the next couple of months.
He was Dr. Hook.
He was the lead. He was the one without the patch on his eye. The patch eye was Ray Sawyer.
Okay, see I just remember the song, and I liked that song. Believe it or not, I did.
Oh, Dr. Hook were all right.
I liked. I was about 8 or 9 when it came out,
yeah.
And I thought
I might
it was,
have been a bit older than that.
And it was good. It was good. Maybe I was 10. Was it 77? I think it was 77.
Yeah, it would have been something like that.
Yeah, so I'm, 8, 9, 10, yep. Whatever. So somebody said they put in Romo and Luz. What does that tell you? Oh, come on.
Dean,
of the 4,033 texts that you've sent into this station,
that could be the dumbest.
Yes.
That could
be the dumbest one you've ever sent in. If you didn't watch that, I mean, you could be taking the piss, Dino.
Yeah.
And if you are, I appreciate it. But if you actually believe Dean... That in when he threw four passes today, if you think he's the reason they lost?
Yeah, the first four passes he's thrown all year.
Yes, he threw a touchdown pass.
Well, all season.
He looked good. He looked very good. I don't know why the hell we didn't see more of him. I wanted to see more of Tony Romo today. So anyway, the Niners were horrible. And now I don't know what's going to happen with them. I've petitioned the football gods because, as you do know, being a football fan of any sport, you cannot switch teams. You can't. You simply cannot switch. So I'm stuck now with this team that is being mismanaged to epic proportion. So what I've done is I've petitioned the football gods for an out, because as a guy, you can't do that. I would lose my guy card, card, if I were to switch teams. You can't do it, right?
Yeah, but who would you go? What team would you go?
Well, that's
to?
The thing. I don't know. I'm taking applications. I'm considering. I like the Raiders. I love Derek Carr, though he's out. Raiders lost today. They went from the 2 seed to the 5 seed. Really bad day. Instead of having a week off, they now have to travel to Texas to play the Houston Texans next weekend without Derek Carr, which is not good. So that wasn't good. Now, interestingly, Denver last year, they won the Super Bowl. This year, I correctly predicted they would miss the playoffs. They have. However, what I did not predict, and which happened today, is that Gary Kubiak, their head coach, has decided to retire.
Oh.
He's going to retire after winning the Super Bowl last year due to health reasons. So the health, you know, I mean, if you had a health scare last year, you know that might scare you into, didn't scare you into retiring.
No.
But, you know, then again, sitting here for 6 hours dealing with A-Rod is not quite as stressful as
probably
running
not.
An NFL team.
Oh, but, don't bet on it.
But anyway, so I look at this coming weekend.
So that's 4 jobs?
Yeah, there'll be 4 jobs
far.
Up. So,
will there be any more?
Absolutely. I'm trying to think who's at risk of losing their job tomorrow. Oh, no, Rex Ryan lost his job, too. He got clipped, and that was well-deserved. So he got clipped. He deserved that. The Jets will not fire their coach. New England will not fire their coach.
Oh.
Miami will not fire their coach. Potentially Mike Zimmer in Minnesota gets the ass. Can we say that gets the ass?
Yeah.
The A-R-S-E?
Yeah.
That would be – he could be someone who could lose his job because they started at 5-0, finished at 8-8.
Oh.
But interestingly, what people aren't talking about is their offensive coordinator, North Turner, right about the time that things were still going well for them, he resigned. And from that time, that offense has not been the same.
Coach?
He was. He's not a good head coach, but he's a really good offensive coordinator.
Okay.
So let's see. So L.A. has L.A.'s probably the best. Well, Denver would be a great destination, too, because you've got that defense. You've got those fans. You've got good ownership. You've got a general manager in John Elway who doesn't suffer fools. He's a smart guy.
John Elway would have his man already picked out, wouldn't he?
Presumably, he's probably got – he's grooming somebody. I was told that there is a – I'm trying to think who it was. There's a head coach potential. There's a coordinator someplace that he was looking to hire. Cleveland will not fire their coach, and nor should they, because I think Hugh Jackson, he was up against it this year, much like Chip Kelly. But I do think that the ownership in Cleveland understands that they've got someone. The team is actually pointed in the right direction.
Okay.
So they'll probably retain him. Let's see. Buffalo needs a new coach. Chicago, John Fox could get the ass. He could. Hard to say. Oh, I think Jacksonville fired their guy, too. So Jacksonville fired their coach as well.
Six. That's not bad.
Yeah. Indianapolis should fire their coach. And their owner came out and said he's very, quote-unquote, very disappointed with the with how the season went. So Chuck Pagano should get the ass because he's got, I think...
If the owner's already said that, Chuck already knows where the local Centrelink is.
Well, Chuck's probably not going to need to go to Centrelink. Actually, I'm going to suggest to you that Chuck's probably well compensated.
Okay.
but anyway, it's a good thought. So that and the general manager there, he's done a horrific job. So both those guys should get the S. So yeah, there'll be 6 or 8 positions. Now, what teams have to do available for head coach? What teams have to do is they have to realize the assets that they have. And if you're a head coach, you don't want to get fired. Because, I mean, none of these guys need money anymore. But it's about ego, and it's about establishing something and building something and having the ultimate success that league can bring. So what a coach wants to do is he wants to go into the ideal situation. So Steve Salisbury is now a head coaching prospect, and I can take the pick that I want.
So what's the best job in the NFL at the moment?
Denver's a pretty good job.
Okay.
L.A. is a pretty good job because you're in L.A. and you're going to be playing in that new stadium. And
a new stadium?
No, they'll have a new stadium built in a couple of years' time.
Okay.
Yeah. So coaching the Rams could be a good one. That's a very sought-after job. If the Niners could sort out their front office. That is obviously a great job. You're living in the Bay Area. You're part of that proud franchise. The problem that I've heard, and I've heard Steve Young say this, who was a championship quarterback there, is that in all teams, like I guarantee you right now, at the Western Bulldogs, there is Beveridge has probably gone in there and said, "This is what it means to be a Bulldog." Right? This is if you're a doggy, this is how you act. And that's something that's established at the very top.
Yep.
And that permeates or should permeate the entire organization from top to bottom. The 49ers used to have that. They no longer have that. The Patriots have that. The Seattle Seahawks right now have that. The Pittsburgh Steelers have had it forever. The New York Giants have had it. So
the Packers got it?
The Packers probably have it, yes.
Yep.
So there's some cultural things. You want to go to a team that's got a strong culture, or you want to be like Harbaugh, come in and establish a strong culture. And again, there aren't a lot of people in business anywhere, in coaching or in the real world, anywhere that can actually come into an organization and in 1 year change the face of a franchise. So it really takes a really strong personality to do that. They had a guy.
And usually that is to stuff it up rather than fix it up.
Well, that's right.
It's much easier to stuff something up than it is to fix it up.
Yeah. Well, if you are an owner of a team, like if you're a rich kid, like Jed York, and you're handed a team, all you got to do is not screw it up.
Yep.
So if I'm Jed York and I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I'm now running this team, because of my birthright, I look in the mirror and go, I look in the mirror and go, I don't deserve this. So,
You look in the mirror and go, I'm not a football expert, so I should leave the football part of it to the football people and try and find the best possible football I can and get them in there and stay out of it?
Of course. But see, these guys he's an idiot.
And thank goodness we don't have private ownership here. Thank goodness that model never worked here. Tried it a few times with Skase and Ruben Pellerman, I think was
who
his name.
Who did Skase on? Christopher Skase?
The Brisbane to Gold Coast.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And Jeffrey Edelston with Sydney. Thank goodness that those models fell over. Because private ownership in this country would be an absolute disaster.
And it takes a special guy, you know. But I mean, the thing about it though is, it's like some people are going, "Oh, well, the 49ers, you know, with respect to Chip Kelly, the 49ers were 2-14. Chip was terrible." Do you know that two of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL, Bill Walsh and Jimmy Johnson, Bill Walsh's first season in San Francisco, 2-14.
Was that right?
Yep. Jimmy Johnson's first season in Dallas, 1-15. Now, are you telling me that those guys got smart overnight because each of them won a Super Bowl within two? When one Joe or Bill won it within two seasons, and Jimmy won it within three. So you're telling me that those guys they were idiots and they got smart overnight? No, they didn't have the players. You have got to have the players. So as an owner, all you got to do is you just got to say, this is what I want. You got to get lucky enough to get the right management guy, a GM, in place and let him do his job.
On 1160 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy, the Run Home with Kevin Hillier for the Hyundai i30, now in run out, just $19,990, drive away.
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
I know who it is.
Why are you rubbing your head? Is
goodness gracious!
I've got a
question. Have I walked into a 1983 disco lounge?
You might have. That was more
Steve Salisbury's here.
That was 87, I think.
Well, you know what I meant.
Yeah. No, I know what you meant. Hey, interesting one. Just before we get into this, texts are a good text that came in.
Yeah.
Conversation with a musician at a party on the weekend. He was a lead singer of a band that was kind of a, I think he said they were sort of a garage punk band.
Okay.
He started doing it in the 80s. Anyway, and we were talking about music, and he called some of the music, what's a euphemism for what I'm about to say? Sort of limp music is
right.
Kind of what he said, right? He said, "Oh,
yep.
That's very limp."
Right.
If you can extrapolate out what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I said, "Okay, let me ask you a question." I said, "You are just this arrogant muso, and you think you know everything." I said, "What do you care?" I go, "I've known so many people like you." I go, "What is it about people like you who say that if it's not such and such, it sucks and it's terrible and it pisses you off when someone likes it?" I mean, who cares if someone likes Terrence Trent D'Arby?
Oh, I might.
Who cares if someone likes Coldplay. I love Coldplay, right? I don't say that Coldplay are the greatest musicians of all time, but I like their music.
Yep.
And I just said to this guy, you know, I go, what is it? Because I've you know, talked to lots of art people. People who don't want to, oh, don't watch those films. Those films are crap.
Oh, yeah,
oh, are they really?
Commercially acceptable.
Yeah. Oh,
films,
yeah, whatever, whatever. It's like, yep. You know what? Get over yourself. Get over yourself.
I don't mind what people, I don't mind what music you like. I don't dislike
Terrence Trent D'Arby.
I don't particularly like that song we just played.
What other, oh, he had Wishing Well, right? Wishing
yes.
Well.
He, I'm sure he did a stint after Michael Hutchins died as frontman of INXS.
Did he really? I know, I saw, I don't know if I told you this, but at the Warfield, you ever heard of the Warfield Theater in San Francisco? Small venue, some of the great acts of all time have played there. In 97, as an engaged man, not a married man, an engaged man.
Right.
With my best buddy and his wife.
Yeah.
We went and watched INXS play. And this is July of 97. So 4 months before his untimely passing. So I think I may have seen the last, I don't know, I think it was his last, it may have been his last concert.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm sure someone could tell us. But damn it, he could play. They those guys in...
Oh, good band.
Band. He was one of those front men who just... He just had a connection with the crowd.
He reeked of charisma.
Yes, he did.
He reeked of charisma.
Great charisma. I think the women, he could have taken any woman home that night if he wanted.
And the boyfriend would have come along. How you going, Michael? No, I'm staying. Dave.
That was not me. I was not there.
Dave is in Mount Martha, I think we're getting to. G'day, Dave.
G'day, James. It's Montmorency. You got the first letter right. Well done.
Okay. Close.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
So it was just a quick question. NFL, what's going to go with my Bears, mate? I've got Jay Cutler. I've got a guy with a cannon for an arm and concrete for feet. And it just doesn't seem to be working. What's your opinion? Oh, by the way, it was Charles and Eddie, mate, not Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Who was that?
It was Charles and Eddie.
They just sing that song right there?
Yeah.
Would I lie to you?
It was the only one they ever had. I'm a nerd when it comes to that stuff.
But I think, well, they may have written that, but he may have covered it, but I thought that was Terrence.
No, they sung it. They got to number one with it, mate.
Okay. We're going to check on that.
Okay.
And
okay.
We're going to check. We will check it. Now, what you want to know about the Bears?
We've got a decent offensive line, and we've got a quarterback that we've thrown a fortune at and got nothing in return.
You were right. It was, what's it? Who was that again?
Charles and Eddie.
It was Charles and Eddie. My bad. Where the hell did I get Terrence Trent D'Arby from?
Oh, mate.
It did sound like Terrence Trent
D'Arby. Soul, it all merges into one.
Yeah. So, you look at the Bears are not a good team. And I do think that you're probably not going to have your quarterback there next year because he's not popular. He's not popular. When I say not popular, it's not a popularity contest, but he's not popular in the locker room. And the guys don't see him as a leader. And in that position, you got to get everybody to want to die for you. The best quarterback has everybody on the team wanting to run through a brick wall for them. And Cutler is surly and somewhat petulant, and people don't like him. So no, I don't think he'll be back.
Okay, thanks for your call, Dave. From Montmorency.
Yeah, so we've been told, yes, it is Charles and Eddie. Yeah, Montmorency is actually out near Greensboro. And Research, Eltham.
Yep.
Give me another Bundura.
Bundura, yes.
Yeah. See, I know my northern suburbs.
Now, someone suggested that you should write a letter to the 49ers owner. Mm-hmm. What's his name? York? Jed?
Yep.
Jed. And explain to Jed that the owner of the Yankees in the Seinfeld series that George worked for is a satirical character. It's not based on any real-life person, and that he should stop running the franchise like that.
I would love to do that. I just think that the guy – I mean, I actually tweeted people I know, and I should email him as well and actually text him, like some reporters I know that cover the team. And I'm like, if he does fire Jed York – or sorry, if Jed York fires Chip – and then is actually courageous enough to sit for the media. I said, could you please ask him if he realizes that he's a problem? Nobody's going to do it.
Why not?
Because they're all chicken ass. They're afraid they're going to lose their gigs.
So they don't ask any hard questions at all?
Not really. You listen. Okay, tomorrow, if the 49ers do have a press conference, and they should. They should have one, and it should judge
the coach. Should,
now, yeah. But it doesn't necessarily mean well. He might not feel like it, Kev. I don't know why I need to listen to the press. I don't want to answer those idiots' questions. But you know what? I want just but listen to the questions that they ask. It's like they're afraid to ask the question. I would love. I told you I got booted out of. I got the stink eye. Because I asked Mike Singletary, who is the head coach of the 49ers, because what happened when I moved to the States, when I moved back there, I followed the team for a little bit. And I'd go around, and we were in Seattle, and I went in and asked a question of Mike Singletary and got the stink eye because it was a stupid question, but it was like a legitimate question. I don't remember what the question was.
Oh, okay.
But it was around a play, and you know, what do you say? He said, well, he just looked at me. It was like it was a dumb question.
Okay.
People don't ask dumb questions. When I went and I covered the Super Bowl, I went to media day, and I'd sit there and I recorded. I had this little tiny recorder, and I'd go up and I'd think, what would be a funny question to ask this guy? And I did that, and it was fun, and there was, it got some laughs, and it was enjoyable, and some of the guys enjoyed it. But it's like people are just afraid to ask a question. I mean, everybody knows the issue. The issue is that guy. Hey, look, how many coaches are you gonna fire before you're gonna finally figure out? Well, we all know you're the problem. Well, I would just love to see how he could handle that.
But why? They're not on the – no reporter's on the payroll of the San Francisco 49ers. So if you're working for the San Francisco Chronicle
– you should be able to.
Do you not walk into the San Francisco 49ers press conference and go, Jed –
what the hell are
Harbor,
you thinking?
Chip Kelly, there's a theme running here, and surely you've got to take responsibility at some stage – for what's going on, for what a basket case this organization is.
So,
that's not a hard question. That's just an honest question. That's not you're not sort of saying fall on your sword.
I will listen if you're honorable, that's what you do, Kev. Just sell the damn team. You'll get $2 billion. You'll never have to work a day of your life. Christ, the work you're doing now is useless. So just take the $2 billion and run away. So we don't have to deal with you anymore. But I mean I do.
Is it a hard process to sell a team?
Well, it's okay. It's yes. Well, no. It's not hard to sell it, but to get vetted out by
all
the owners.
All the other owners have to say you can do it.
That's right. Yeah, so okay. I don't know. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in one of those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, listening to, all right, well, if we're going to give you this team, you got to do this for us. You got to do that for us. Da, 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 da. I always said I wanted to buy a team. I'm probably, you know, over $1 billion short of doing that. I'm pretty sure about that. Unless the market over there just tanks it and I can get one for about, you know, I could sell my house over there and then kind of turn that into a down payment on an NFL franchise.
Oh, yeah, now we're talking. That's Terrence.
That is good, isn't it? Across my heart. You to be
no, there's a reason. There's a reason you're not making your living as a singer, Steve.
I told you a story.
Yeah, tell me the karaoke story with your charismatic, but you can't sing.
That's right. And so you would agree.
I have not disagreeing with that person.
Look, that's fair enough.
There's the person who should buy a franchise. That would be funny. Ari Gold from Entourage. He's been the sort of person who should run an NFL franchise.
I think that
probably has run an NFL franchise.
Ari, yeah. Did Ari buy the franchise? Which one did he buy? I don't even remember.
Was that the LA one? But they didn't. Anyway.
Did he? Because I saw the movie, but I just...
Movie was ordinary.
Yeah, it wasn't going to be good. It wasn't. It's very difficult to take that. I loved the show, though.
Oh,
I was a
too.
Huge fan of the show.
Yeah, me too. Was Ronda Rousey in that? Was she in that as Turtle's girlfriend, or a girl Turtle was in?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she was in the movie, wasn't she?
Was it the movie or the? Was
I
the
think
movie.
She was in the movie. Yeah, the Ronda Rousey thing I don't quite get. Like I don't think I could date a girl who could beat my ass.
Well, not at the moment. Or if you could go longer than 48 seconds, you'd probably beat her at the moment. Yeah, he said that started the year off as one of the worst sports stories of all.
48 seconds.
48 seconds the fight lasted. She stood there and the other girl, Nunes, I think her name is, just went whack, 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 whack. That'll be the end of that. 48 seconds worth. That was worth the money we paid for.
Ronda Rousey got just...
$4.5 million. Disclosed, that was the fee for the fight. What she got from pay and all the other things that go with it, who knows?
She didn't win.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
She didn't see a minute. It didn't last a minute. 48 seconds.
I can't even... I remember...
You could have had that fight two times between now and when the news comes on.
Really? Ed Wyatt and I used to sit there, and people used to go, oh, we like UFC. We love UFC. And I used to... Because I sat there. I'm like, I'll give this. So I went onto YouTube, I think. And I started watching some cage fighting. And it was like... Oh, Jesus. It was just, there was blood everywhere.
I don't like it. I find it barbaric, but I you can watch whatever you want to watch. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, but no, I'm actually now, I like, because they've kind of reined it in a little bit, and I don't think people are dying in the ring.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's actually, I'll tell you who I'll watch. I would watch...
McGregor.
Yeah, Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor.
Yeah, I'd watch him. Certainly. And I'd watch the Brazilian guy. I can't remember what his name is. But I'd watch a couple of those guys, fine.
Ronaldo? I've got no idea. Just making this stuff up.
Ronaldinho. Why don't the Brazilian fighters, because I think jiu-jitsu is a Brazilian thing, showing my fighting knowledge.
Yeah, it is, apparently.
I don't know why they don't have the single names, because there used to be an app where you could go to it and you could put, my name's Kevin Hillier, and it would come out with your Brazilian soccer name.
Oh, right.
That was pretty funny.
It would have been good. Hey, thanks for coming in.
Anytime. I just hope that, I figure if I didn't come in, I'd probably either get an ulcer or have a stroke.
At least it's sort of cathartic for you to come
it
in
is,
and
yeah,
talk about
yeah.
the
49ers. And then I'm gonna go hit the speed back here.
Okay.
And fight for, you know, the next hour or something, really get a
48 seconds. So you get $4.5 million for 48 seconds. Just go down that track.
Okay.
It's easy.
All right.
Steve Salisbury in the studio. Thank you, Steve.